Hello, good morning, how you doing? Waking up, waking
get up with
ladies and gentlemen,
Josiah and Ellie.
It goes like this.
Hello, catch-uppers.
Good morning,
Ellie.
Show.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
I'm saying good morning to them. You're saying good morning to me.
That's true. It's morning our time. Afternoon, most likely, when people listen to this.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for click and download. That was really nice of you.
6th of May today is my sister Shannon's birthday. She's a big fan of our podcast. So happy birthday, Shannon. Love you lots.
Happy birthday, Shannon. Love you lots too.
You have a boy's name. You have a boy's name.
No, she doesn't. One of my best friend's names is Shannon and she's a girl.
Ah, is she?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Hello. What did you just say?
Ah, is she? Can't talk today. It's a Monday.
I think you just said the S word and you said you'd never swear in the podcast.
I said, oh, no.
You said, is it?
I was meant to say, is it? But yeah. I tried to say it with an Irish accent.
Well, there you go. Happy birthday, Shannon. Hey, today on the show, we speak to Eddie Maguire.
Happy birthday, Eddie.
God, that dude can speak, can't he? Love him.
Is it his birthday?
Probably not.
No, it's not. Yeah, he spoke and spoke. My
if it
goodness.
Is his birthday, that's so awkward for us because we do not wish him a happy birthday.
We definitely don't. You get angry as well.
Yeah, I do get angry. The royal baby, it's got me up and about. So we'll have a chat about that. We've got a big announcement to make regarding Sunrise and our national debut on it the other day.
Yeah, we possibly might definitely be on Sunrise once again this week. Huge for the show. We're going national, guys.
Yeah, mate. We'll be international before we know it.
Eddie Maguire is born on October 29.
Cool.
So we're safe.
So not his birthday. I feel like we had a 1 in 365 chance.
We had exactly 1 in 365 chance.
Yeah, so. I know. Lucky. The odds are against us. Hey, enjoy the catch-up. We'll speak to you again tomorrow.
Are we ready?
The catch-up with Josiah and Ellie.
Hey, if you missed it on the show on Friday, we had a big moment, and that was the moment that our little radio show here in the Goulburn Valley made it onto national TV.
Isn't this guy too good looking to be on radio?
Yes.
And surely Josiah is a fake name. Anyway, good to see you this morning, mate. Now, he's given me this hat as a present, and he's created two of only two hats. It's the Make Shep Great Again. Make some noise for that, everyone.
Woo!
Good on you, Josiah. Thanks. Hey, good to see you. And listen to the radio show.
Hit 96.9, Josiah and Ellie.
Check him out.
I mean, well done, buddy. I was so proud of you. I set you the challenge of getting on Sunrise with Sam Mack, and lo and behold, you delivered.
We made it onto the big stage. Now what happens? We're back to square one.
Well,
back to being just us again.
Yeah, I know.
Do you think, has everyone around Australia forgotten about us already?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, probably.
So I'm like, do you know what? Let's keep this train going.
To be honest, once the weekend hits, I forget about us as well.
And rightly so. You were talking to Sam Mack off air on Friday after the Sunrise shoot. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
In TV? I don't know.
In the biz, we call it Sunrise shoot.
Oh, the shoot. Yeah, cool. And he was like, oh, do you know what? Sunrise is actually going to be in Shep again next Friday, as in this coming Friday.
I know. What's happened to our little town?
I know. It's like, whoa,
everyone wants to be
about?
Here. We're literally, you know what? No, Sam said, because how good the tour that we took him on was,
yeah,
I'm going to let Sunrise know to come back next week because this place is awesome.
You're welcome, Shepparton. You're welcome. And you continue this chat with him. And he mentioned one name, and that name was Mark Beretta. And he's the one who's coming to Shep on Friday, bringing Sunrise for his sports segment, right?
Yeah.
Mark Beretta. That name rings a bell, and it rings a bell for one reason. Remember last year, you and I got a ferret, and we raced that ferret at the Shep show.
Roger Ferreter.
When we were trying to decide on Roger Ferreter's name, listen to what name snuck in.
It's got to be Ferret Bueller.
Naming it after one of my favourite players for the Bombers in the AFL, Zach Ferret.
Mark Ferreta. Ferret face.
Fergie the Ferret.
Roger Ferreter.
We've had.
Frederick the Ferret.
Frederick.
Neil Patrick Ferret.
How about Ferret Gump?
Okay. Did you hear what name was in there? An interesting one that is maybe going to be in Shepparton on Friday.
Mark Beretta's here.
Yeah.
What are you suggesting that we try and bring back a ferret and give it to Mark Ferreta?
Maybe.
Or should I say Mark Beretta? We have to do this.
We have to do it.
It's
if we've
idea.
Got access to ferrets, why wouldn't we? Why would Mark Beretta not want a ferret?
Well, do we? Because I feel a bit bad because Whitey, our ferret trainer who looks after Roger for us, we haven't neglected Rog, but we haven't had an update on him. We haven't spoken to Whitey for a while.
No.
So we may have to put the call in
today
or on tomorrow's show to find out what's going on with Rog.
Yeah, because last we heard of Rog, she. We really screwed that up. She was pregnant and she was quitting racing. That's the last we've heard.
Well, what are we going to do with Mark Beretta that's coming to town on Friday?
I don't know.
Are you suggesting we try and get down to his cross like I did on Friday with Sam Mack and give him a ferret?
Yes.
Oh, Ellie.
I know.
So
if it could work.
If we pull this off,
yeah,
will be on Sunrise not once but twice in a week.
I mean, maybe.
I mean, who knows what could happen to this show. If we get on national TV twice in a week, Golden Valley, I'm sorry, but we'll be in Hollywood
next. Yeah, so true. So true. All right, we'll keep listening throughout the week. We're going to give Whitey a call and find out what the deal is, whether Roger's around, whether Roger's got any friends, and we'll take it from there. But this could be another huge moment for the J&E show.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
A lot of people very excited, Josiah, because the royal baby, the birth of it, is for it to be born. Not me, Josiah, me.
I get angry, but I don't let the anger get me.
I'm getting angry over it, as I do most times the royals make the news, which is every single day of the year.
Don't let the anger get you.
I know, sorry. I'm not letting the anger get me, I swear to God. So for the last week, we've been expecting this baby to be born. It was due last Sunday. Now, quick update for anyone who cares. She has reached a level that she's so overdue with the birth that they're looking at inducing her, which means that she's not going to be able to do the home birth that she wants.
I'm telling you right now, the baby's already been born. I reckon it was born. It's been born for a week at least. They're just waiting. They're doing this couple, right, Harry and Meghan.
Yeah.
They do everything against the royal protocol.
Yeah.
Cole, is that how you say the word? And so I think it's no difference with their baby. They may have had complications. Something may have happened. I don't know, but they're keeping it private. I reckon they're going to reveal it very soon, but it has been born.
Well, you're not the only one who thinks that. There's been a lot of rumours circulating about this bloody baby everywhere.
Oh,
you
wow.
Look.
No, have some empathy.
I'm excited. Like, it's very exciting when anyone has a baby.
Yeah, do you have to throw that word in front of the word baby? They're two words that should never go together because that's exactly what happens when it comes out.
You know, I'm not really a baby person. Like, give me a kid that can speak, great. I'll have gags with it. I'll tell it jokes. But babies, I'm like, I don't really know what to do
well,
with
them. Well, we were at the, what's the thing we did at, by the lake
Goblin
there?
Vibes.
Goblin Vibes the other week. And our boss, Benny, was there with his baby daughter and he gave you a hold. And you look like one of those people that just didn't know what to do with it. You had a beer in your hand. You're like, you look way more comfortable with a stubby than you do with a baby.
Yeah, I'm getting there. One day I'll be ready, just not right now. But it's not even the fact, like, I'm happy for them. I'm as happy as the next person. The problem is I'm not losing sleep over it. And so many people are. I was reading reports this morning of people who are camping outside waiting for this baby and they're like, oh, I think it's been born because I saw a car drive past that was going really slowly and it had a pink blanket inside and it was dodging the speed bumps as if there was a baby in there. Like, come on!
I get angry.
Are you kidding me?
I get
angry. It's just a car driving in the general vicinity that happens to have a pink blanket in it.
Yeah, but people don't have much going in their own lives. So the royal family is fun for us, Ellie. We love it.
It's not.
Okay, let's put it into context, right?
Yeah.
You like what's happening on Bachelor in Paradise, right? We like what's happening to the royal family. I pick the royal family over what two peanuts on Bachelor in Paradise are doing.
Yeah, I suppose that's a good point. I mean, in about 10 minutes, I'm going to be telling a story about my weekend, so people don't really care about that either. So fair enough.
Don't let the anger get you.
Okay.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
A big week this week for a show that we all know and love, Millionaire Hot Seat. The franchise turns 20 this week, so we thought we've got to get the one and only Eddie Maguire on to have a chat about it. Morning, Eddie.
Hi, Josiah and Ellie. Great to be with you.
20 years, Eddie. Does that make you, what, 21? You're 1 year old when you started the show?
Yeah, I tell you what, you're blinking, it's gone. That's the one thing you have to make sure. Enjoy it while you can, gang.
Yeah, when you first started out back in 99, did you have any idea that 20 years later you'd still be doing it?
I didn't know about 20 years later, but I knew that it was going to be one of the biggest hits in television history because it was just a brilliant format. It took off in England. Chris Tarrant was the host in England. And a guy by the name of Paul Smith was the creator. And, of course, not only did it become the biggest show in the world, but also won an Academy Award with Slumdog Millionaire as well. So they're really great people. But the whole idea, I remember 20 years ago at the time talking to people like yourselves on the radio trying to explain what the show was about. And I said, well, we'll give you the question. You can take the money at any stage. We'll give you three lifelines and there's $1 million to be won. And people said, this is unbelievable. How does this work? And we'll have, you know, guaranteed set amounts, et cetera. And, you know, little did we know at that stage that it would take us a long time to get two people to actually win the $1 million. Subsequently, we've had three.
Yeah, almost $80 million you've given away. That is a lot of money, Eddie Maguire.
Yeah, we're not slapping some of the other shows. We actually give money away.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of them that talk up a big game and, you know, give you nothing. We actually give a lot of money away and we love it. We love the fact that... you know, people's lives change. You don't need to win the $1 million either. The amount of people we've seen who've won $50,000 and has made such an impact to their lives. You know, I remember I had one guy on here, I think he won $250,000 right in the middle of the global financial crisis, and he looked like a successful businessman. When we came off air, he started shaking, and I said, yeah, okay. And he said, tomorrow I was putting my house on the market, and my daughter, who was in the audience, who doesn't know this, was going to get taken out of school. And he was able to reload and go again.
Well, Eddie, I've come out and said this before on the show. I'm not a big crier, one of those blokes, but there is one show in particular, and this is my small bone to pick with you, that I do actually well up, and it's when people win money on your show. Every time it reduces me to tears. I don't know if that's because I'm on a terrible salary and I wish I could win that money or...
Probably, yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out why, but you always reduce me to tears.
Well, there's a bit of empathy involved in all that, Josiah. So don't fight yourself against it. And I think that's one of the great things about the show is that every day, six normal people from our community get a shot on TV. You know, we don't see a lot of normal people. I mean, we see reality TV. Well, they're anything but normal these days.
They're not normal.
But we have a wonderful situation where these people get up and they're able to be on TV, have some fun, and then something extraordinary can happen to ordinary people.
Yeah, of course. Can I ask, Eddie, how often when you walk down the street does someone say to you, lock it in, Eddie?
Oh, every minute.
Yeah.
Every minute, every day. Yeah, do I need a lifeline, Eddie? All those sorts of things. And
yeah.
Look, that's part of the fun of it. It's a way for people to communicate. And I think, you know, I knew the show, to your point a little bit earlier, Ellie, that... when did I know the show was going to be huge? When people started making this part of the vernacular.
Yeah.
And that's when these things cross over from a television show into actual popular culture.
Oh, for sure. You've become an absolute Australian icon, Eddie.
Lock it in.
Lock it in. Lock in that fact. That's
some would
sure.
say more con than icon, but anyway.
Well, you've been a pleasure to watch over the last 20 years. Keep on. Hopefully we can have another 20 years out of you and
I
we'll
hope
keep
so
watching.
Too. That is my wife and so do my kids who
no, just on the show. I didn't mean
in life.
That
I'm making it for them. Oh, what's that?
I didn't mean in life. In life you've got like 50,000 years.
No, I'm
like,
talking about work. No, they just want me to keep working. They're not worried about how long they live. They just want to keep earning. That's all.
Keep digging, Ellie. Keep digging.
No, didn't want to end that on an awkward note. God.
No, it's not awkward at all, Ellie. I know what you're saying. You want me to die.
I don't.
No. Oh, God. All right. I'm getting out of this interview now. Eddie Maguire, catch him on Millionaire Hot Seat, 5 p.m. weekdays on Channel 9. Thank you so much for coming on our show this morning, Eddie. You Australian
thank you,
icon.
Thank you, Ellie. It's been a pleasure to be talking to the great folk of Ship.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Josiah, last night I finally watched it. The most recent Game of Thrones episode.
How did you wait this long? It's the biggest episode possibly. They're saying it is the biggest episode in TV history.
I know. Trust me. I went through a lot of turmoil not watching it. I had to wait for my boyfriend to be free so we could link up our laptop screens at the same time so we could watch it together.
It's anyway, so sad.
I know, so sad, but cute.
Yeah, cute.
Cute, thank you. Anyway, I watched it last night. It was great. There's a big moment in the episode. Now, I'm not going to say what it is, not going to give away any spoilers, but there's a big moment where one character does something. I'm so scared about what I'm going to say.
Well, there's the big war. What do they call the dead people?
The
winter is coming.
The Night King.
Yeah, the Night King and his army. Yeah. The big war finally happens.
Yeah. One of the ladies of whatever one of the towns is. So basically, when you're a lady in Game of Thrones, you've got heaps of power because basically you were born into this family, and she is badass. This chick, like, she's only a little girl, but she does some cool things, and she commands her armies and. And all this stuff.
And she's only 13 years old.
Only 13, yeah. In real life, she's 15. So she's quite a big character, and she has been in the last couple of seasons. But it turns out she's come out and said, Bella Ramsey, that's her name in real life, she said her parents won't let her watch Game of Thrones because it's got too much of everything in it. There's too much death. There's too much...
Nudity.
Yeah, nudity, people getting their heads chopped off and stuff. So she doesn't know what's happened in the rest of the season.
Hang on.
Because she hasn't been able to watch it.
So she only plays the character. She has no idea. But surely when she's on set...
Yeah, well, I think she's been told what the story is. And she's probably read scripts, but she hasn't actually watched the episode. She says she's watched a few... But her parents will stand in front of the TV if it gets too naughty. Oh,
come on. Imagine being at that age. She would have seen it all with her own eyes in real life. I understand if she'd never seen anything before.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen anyone's head being smushed to pieces.
Yeah, but she'd be seeing how fake it is. So when she's watching it TV, she'd be like, oh, I saw how that happens. That's not really how it is. And surely she watched them when they were nude as well.
Like, oh, I don't think she would have.
You reckon? They would have just been walking around the set nude. That's just what you do. It's like me in the office here. I just walk around with my pants off.
They've got little modesty pouches, don't they?
Do they? I've never worked in Hollywood.
Modesty skirt or something it's called. Yeah, yeah. So you don't actually see your bits.
Maybe I need one of those for around the office.
No, a shirt will do for you. but I want to talk about this morning because my parents were the same. They wouldn't let me watch anything growing up. They were so strict. One thing that I wasn't allowed to watch that I wish I could. Does this ring a bell to you, this song?
The OC.
Oh. I would go to school and everyone was talking about the OC.
Why would your parents not let you?
They thought it was inappropriate that all these high school kids were sleeping in each other's beds and whatnot.
Yeah, fair enough. It's encouraging people to do the wrong thing at a young age.
No, but like everyone was talking about it, Josiah.
I'm going to be one of these parents. I can see it already. My parents wouldn't let me, how's this, watch The Simpsons for a long time. I know of a lot of people like this.
Really?
Yeah, up until high school was the rule.
Mm-hmm.
And that got thrown out the window pretty quickly because remember Fox 8 used to do Simpsons Saturdays? We'd wake up and the minute Dad would leave the door to go to work, Simpsons would be on. Mum was a pushover. But so she'd join us.
It's a cartoon. What's so bad about it? Is it immoral?
No, it's because it would encourage you to be naughty and backchat to your parents.
Bart Simpson.
I was Bart Simpson, yeah. They were afraid that I was going to do everything he did, and they were absolutely right.
Welcome, Valley. We want to ask you this morning, 13, 12, 16, what were you not allowed to watch as a kid?
I remember my auntie called up and complained to the TV ad people because an X-Files promo came on during 5:30 p.m., whatever Wheel of Fortune was on.
Yeah.
And we were all watching that as kids, so she was so offended that the ex would start putting it later on.
Oh, God. Did
Come
she have any
on.
Success?
No, of course not.
Shut up.
Who cares?
I've had a few messages on the Hit GV Instagram. Katie's messaged in and said that she wasn't allowed to watch Harry Potter because her dad was into Jesus. She was gifted the books growing up and he put them in the fire.
Well, my parents are into Jesus and we were allowed to watch Harry Potter. So I think
Potter's not that sacrilegious, is it?
Nah, it's more for the people. Actually, my cousins weren't allowed to watch it. It's more for because my auntie, same auntie actually, they think it's wizardry and witchery and all that sort of stuff.
Right. I suppose witches got
of the devil's
stake.
Work.
Yeah. Paris has messaged us in as well saying, I used to secretly watch Grey's Anatomy on silent with subtitles when I was 11. I'd sneak out of the room at nighttime into the lounge room at the other end of the house and watch it in the darkness.
Oh.
That's creepy. I did that with the Logies. I remember because the Logies were on super late at night, so I had to sneak out of my room and watch it.
The Logies.
I love the Logies.
The worst award show in the history of TV.
I'm going to win the gold Logie one day.
Good for you.
Okay. Thank you. 13, 12, 16. Feel free to get in touch with what you weren't allowed to watch as a kid growing up. Let's go to Andy from Benalla. Andy, what happened to you? What weren't you allowed to watch?
Oh, anything remotely romantic, amorous, or sexy. My mum had this habit of jumping up in front of the TV screen and covering it with her body when anything remotely saucy came on. And I think that the latest memory of this happening, I was about 16, and I had some mates around. I cannot remember what we were watching, but I was never more embarrassed in my life than when she jumped up in front of the screen when we were watching something and my mates are just laughing.
It's a bit of a lose-lose, though, from a parent's perspective. You jump up and make a scene, you're highlighting it. But then you're also, if you don't do that, it's just that awkward thing where no one knows where to look. Do you keep watching? Do you look at your phone? What do you do?
I don't know. I reckon... That's pretty awkward when you want to sit through a sex scene with your parents. Look, just be normal, right? Because it's a normal part of life, I guess.
Yeah, and you know what? With kids these days and what they've got access to on the internet, really, what are they seeing on free-to-air TV that they can't find 10 times worse on the internet, right?
That'd be my argument these days, Ellie, yep.
All righty. Well, thanks so much for your call, Andy.
No worries, guys.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
How's this? A girl in the US has got 10 out of 10 on an assignment which she submitted last second, put no effort into, and she went on a bender the night before. How she did it is so, so good. So they were asked to submit a film review for the movie Fight Club. You seen Fight Club before? Brad Pitt?
No, all I know is what happens in Fight Club. What is it? The number one rule of Fight Club is don't talk about Fight Club.
Well, that's got a lot to do with what she did, actually. It's such a good movie, that movie. I love Fight Club a lot. She submitted it and it went 19-word essay. That's it.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay, I got to submit something. Don't have time. Who has time for essays? I personally haven't written one since year 12. Refused to do another essay when I left school because I hated them. So she titled her essay Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
In the essay, this is what she wrote. The first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club. And then she wrote, next sentence, that's it. That's my essay. the teacher awarded her cheekiness.
Yeah.
Because it also kind of, you know, rounded up exactly what he was after, answered the question, did everything, gave her 100%.
Good effort. Do you know what? That's exactly what I'd do. If I was in the same situation, like I said, haven't seen the movie. That's all I know is that one quote. There you go.
So she got 100%. She put it on Twitter for all to see, took a couple of photos.
Yeah.
It's now been retweeted over 42,000 times. So kids, if you're on your way to school this morning, you've got assignment due, just, I don't know, cheat, do something.
But you know what? Like, she's gone against what she said there. The number one rule is not to talk about it. If 45,000 people have retweeted it, everyone's talking about Fight Club.
Yeah, she wouldn't be getting 10 out of 10 next time, will she?
She has failed her task.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Like, I've been in this region for 14, 15 months now, so you'd think I know my way around.
No, you'd think.
Yeah, turns out I really, really, really don't. So I went to Groove in the Moon Bendigo on Saturday, picked up my friend Will.
As in picked him up?
No.
As in you, like, you hooked up?
No, like I said, hey, you coming to Bendigo too? Cool, I'll give you a lift there.
Oh, in the car. I think yes. Yeah, picked him up, like at a club, you hooked up with him.
No, I've got a boyfriend. No, I actually do have a boyfriend. That made it sound really creepy. No, I picked him up from his house in Kayala, okay? Can we just clarify that?
Okay,
and I said,
up.
I'll take us to Bendigo. And I thought, I've been to Bendigo once or twice before. I'm a legend. I don't need to look up how to get there. I did need to look it up because I get to Maroopna. And you know how there's the intersection at Maroopna? You go right to go to Echuca and you go straight to keep going to Bendigo.
Yeah, there's a sign there that says Bendigo straight ahead.
Is there?
Yeah, there is.
Didn't see that sign. Because in my head, for some reason, Echuca's on the way to Bendigo.
Oh, come on, Ellie. No, Tatura is on the way.
Yeah, I know. They both end in A, okay? And so I'd been to Echuca a few times. So I was like, I don't need the map to get there. So, of course, I get to that intersection and I chuck a righty and head down to the Echuca way. And about 35 minutes goes by. And I think, that's weird, I haven't seen any more signs to Bendigo. Like, usually there's a fair few along the way. That's weird. I should probably just double check. And I said to Will, I was like, yeah, we're definitely going the right way, right? He goes, yeah, I've been on this road before. Of course we are.
Yeah, to Echuca.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm pretty sure there's a spot soon that we've got to turn. Like, I remember on the way to Bendigo that there's an intersection you've got to turn down. So I said, do you mind just chucking into maps and seeing if when that intersection's coming up? So he did, and he goes, oh, that intersection's in 800 metres. I was like, hold on, this doesn't sound right, because I feel like the intersection was a lot further down the Bendigo Road, the Midland Highway.
Midland, yeah.
Yeah. And so sure enough, we get 800 metres down the road, and the left turn we've got to make is a dirt track, like gravelly, full of potholes. And I was like, this is not some kind of new bypass that I haven't heard of, a Bendigo bypass or something. This is not the right way.
So what, did you pull over and look at the map to see where you'd gone wrong, or how'd you find out?
No, he was just like, oh, no, it's fine. This back road all just goes for like a K or so. So we'll get off that and then we'll be back on the road that we're supposed to be on. We weren't back on the road we were supposed to be on. We had to go all the way back to like the roundabout at Tat.
Oh, come there. On.
Yeah.
You didn't go through Kyabram at all?
No, I don't think so. So but who knows where I was? I was in dirt roads. I was in the outskirts.
From Kyala then, when you picked up Will
yeah.
to Bendigo, how long did the trip take?
Like nearly 2 hours.
Oh, this, you know how much this makes me angry because there's, oh, you know I'm OCD with directions.
I know, you're really good. You're the one who told me what was up the
map. So yes. I've got the weirdest brain out.
I know, well, I'm trying to be more like you. And I'm like, usually I would have got the maps out straight away, but I was like, nah, I'm a legend. I know the way to Bendigo. It's one road. Literally, it's two roads to Bendigo.
Yeah,
and I managed to get it wrong.
I can go the back way from Kyala. I go through.
All right. This isn't a let's brag about Josiah.
No, let me just brag for a sec. I can go through Murch, Rushworth. It's actually not that hard. It's pretty well one road as well. I prefer that way. And I can still get there without a map. It's really not that hard.
You are a legend. Hero. All right, Enrique Iglesias. all right. I want you to make me feel better this morning, Goulburn Valley. Please do. Give me a call. 13, 12, 16. How long did you go in the wrong direction for? Was it 45 minutes like me? Was it even longer? You're
when in right. doubt, Ellie, just put it in Google Maps. Simple.
Yeah.
Simple.
I think for me, just generally, I should always have everything in Google Maps. I should have a nav man set up the whole time, like even to get home.
Maybe we should get one for you. Hit GV on Instagram is the place. You can get in touch with us. Give us a follow or message us on there. Steph has said she was in Italy. She was meant to go south to Rome.
Mm.
Somehow ended up at the Swiss border, which is in the north.
Oh, you're kidding me. That does make me feel a bit better. 13, 12, 16, how far do you go in the wrong direction? Let's go to Dave from Stanhope. Dave, how far do you get, buddy?
So I was going away for the weekend, and I got about 3.5 hours into a drive, and I was going the wrong way.
3.5 hours.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was just going away camping for the weekend. It was just, she's like, I think we're going the right way. I think we're headed the right way. I'm like, no, it's good, it's good. I'm like, no, it's all good, it's all good. And, 3.5 hours into it, and we were, yeah, absolutely headed the wrong way.
Are you?
It's not great.
Well, what happened was I just leant into it, and we just committed to going the wrong way. So we ended up just staying somewhere random for the weekend.
Oh, see, well,
Ellie, that's what you could have done. You could have taken Will here from the office that you took to Bendigo,
yeah.
And you and him could have had a weekend in Echuca instead of grooving in the Moo.
Yeah, unfortunately, the festival wasn't in Echuca, though. It was in Bendigo, and I'd paid a lot of money to go to it, so it wouldn't have worked. All right, well, Dave, you've made me feel a lot better about myself this morning. Thanks, bud.
No, not a problem at all.
There you go. Imagine me and Dave in the car together. trying to get to Bendigo. We'll end up in bloody Uluru. Cairns or somewhere.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie. Scoopla.
It is time for us to cross to Hollywood to speak to our very favourite, Dean McCarthy. He joins us now. Morning, Dean.
Good morning, guys. Hello, everyone.
What has been happening in Tinseltown this week, my friend?
You know what? Everyone in Tinseltown has flown to New York City because tomorrow night is the Met Gala. This is the most exclusive event in the world. I'll tell you what. Even if you're rich and fabulous, you can't get invited. You have to be specifically asked and personally approved by Anna Wintour, the editor of Vogue magazine. Here's a couple of rules that I found out about the Met Gala that has just had me shook today, because I thought it was a lot easier than this to get a, you know, Guernsey to the Met Gala. First of all, it's $30,000 a ticket.
Wow.
Okay. Yep. So even if you're invited, specifically, personally by Anna Wintour, it's still 30 grand. Number two, no plus one. No hubby's boyfriend. Nope. Unless your boyfriend is or hubby's inside. Like, no one knows what it looks like. Like, no one knows what it really looks like. It's only the red carpet, right? Number four, no publicist allowed. Absolutely.
Ooh,
no,
I like
publicist.
That.
So that's why... I like that as well. So even when you notice they're walking up the runway, the red carpet, you may notice not many of them do interviews because they don't have their publicists with them. They're not allowed to bring any plus one. Number five, no unattractive food. There'll be nothing garlic. There'll be no parsley. And number six, if you deny your invitation, for whatever reason, you will not be invited ever again, except with one condition. You are a triple A-list. So Beyonce, Oprah, you know, Meryl Streep, like... Not like just kind of famous. I mean, like mega.
Josiah and Ellie.
So there you go.
Yeah, we'd surely get invited.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. That sounds awful. It sounds like everyone there is just walking around with things stuck up their bums, Dean.
I love it. I'd be there in a heartbeat.
So would I, Dean. You and I both. I would love to be at the Met Gala. It is obviously the biggest night in fashion. Each Met Gala has a different theme of what outfit you have to wear. What's this year's theme, Dean?
This year's theme is camp, what is it? Camp Notes on Fashion. So I don't even really know what that means. All I know is Harry Styles and Lady Gaga are sitting on the panel, whatever that means as well. Last year was, of course, the Catholic-inspired theme, which was very controversial. In the past, they've done Future. So camp, I don't know, a bit of camo. It's anyone's take on it. It'll be fabulous. I can't wait to see what like J-Lo wears or Kim Kardashian. Fabulous.
Well, do you know what? Josiah and I are literally going camping this weekend, so I feel like we fit in with the Met Gala. What we'll be wearing. My Kmart puffer jacket will fit in quite nicely.
Yeah, totally.
All right, well, we're looking forward to seeing the photos from the Met Ball. Dean McCarthy, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Always a pleasure. Bye, guys.
Miss you to pieces.
Hit Breakfast with Josiah and Ellie.